Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey, and we are welcoming you to Scary Cast Tuesday. We've got a great show lined up, and it's great to have our panelists and our guests here. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. The topic is Bigfoot cloaking. So first of all, I want to introduce my co-host and the queen of Scary Cast for sure, Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I am good, and I'm excited about our topic tonight. I think it's going to give everybody some really good information and at least maybe open everybody's mind a little bit to this phenomena that's going on. And that way it can maybe answer some questions or at least put a spin on it where people can say, hey, maybe there's something to this.
Well, that sounds great, and I'm looking forward to it as well. And our guest tonight is Doraine Fisher. Doraine, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're so glad to have you back. You were on here with us last week along with Robin. So I'm going to turn the podium over to you ladies, and let's get going because I know everybody's excited about Bigfoot cloaking and Bigfoot in general and ScaryCast.
All right.
Okay, Robin.
Okay, this is the topic that is really, really controversial, one of the topics of Bigfoot that's really controversial. But this one seems to be the topic of the moment. I've had a lot of people ask me about this subject, and they asked us to talk about this tonight. So I wanted to, first of all, ask you, because you've had a lot more experience with this than probably anyone, and all of us that might call ourselves researchers out here, we've witnessed this. Not, I guess I shouldn't say all of us, but any of us that were open to it, I suppose, have witnessed this. And we have our opinions about it, but I think that you are probably closer to it than anyone else. And I remember you saying something in one of our past interviews about you saw one of the Bigfoot in your yard half cloaking and half not, or something like that. Yeah. And I wanted you to elaborate on that story a little bit first.
Okay. To begin with, you know, I was like everybody else in the beginning. I wasn't aware that they had this ability, but things didn't add up to me. I would hear them walking. I wouldn't see them. Things would happen. I wouldn't see them. And I, born and raised in Michigan, I'd be walking through the snow and I'd watch footprints being made next to me that were very, very large and see nothing that was making them. But they were happening. They were going on while I was walking. They would just mirror me. And in the fall, it was the same thing, you know, and excuse me, it was a controversial topic even back then. And I'm a person that, and anybody knows me knows this, I'm direct. I will go right to the source and just ask the question. I've communicated with the Bigfoot since I was little. I've talked to them verbally and I've mind spoke with them. So has my husband. And so we went to the source and said, you know, what is going on? And even before I had married Pat, I said to them, you know, everybody was not real sure whether or not cloaking happened. And I would, like, look out in my yard and I would watch them in this physical form. And then they would automatically be transparent. How do you explain that? You know? So I asked them. According to them, they bend the light. That's how they do it.
Okay.
They don't really leave. They're there. But it's important that people realize there's two different ways that this happens. You have shimmering, and that's where you see people that see looks like a gelled water type thing or like what you would see on that movie Predator.
Okay.
And that's called a shimmer. And then you go to what's called complete cloaking, and they literally are invisible. You cannot see them. And I've had them go up behind me and put a hand on my shoulder while they're like that, which is very disconcerting. Pat and I have seen for years, you look outside and you'll see like an arm and a leg where they're in the middle of cloaking and they don't have everything cloaked.
Okay.
I had a very large mail come in to an area where I had put food out and gifts for them. And he was just hungry. He wasn't part of the regular group. He came in and he was fully formed. I mean, he was in the physical form. And I was in the, on the porch and I said something to him and it scared him. And he cloaked everything but the top of the conial head. And not all of them have that. He did. And so when he turned around to leave, all you saw was the top of that cone. It looked like a yarmulke going through the woods. I mean, it was crazy. You know,
hey,
I've seen them jump from... Huh?
Robin, I would like to add, and Duran, if it's okay, I'd like to add a short story of something that happened to me at Robin's home.
Okay.
We were sitting there eating a late lunch. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I happened to be sitting on the side of the table where I was facing the window looking outside in her dining room. And I looked up and lo and behold, there was about a 12-foot tall reddish brown colored Bigfoot just walking by the window. I mean, just like, hey, you know, I'm just walking by here. So I jumped up. No one's ever seen me move that fast. And I got to the front door, which was about 4 feet away. I blasted it open, and there was nothing there. Now, what I can tell you is I know what I saw. I mean, I can't deny what I saw. And whatever it was, and I believe it was a Bigfoot, it didn't have any chance to run 25 feet to the edge of the house. It didn't. Therefore,
yeah.
It had to cloak. It just had to. And I mean, you know, there's no other explanation for it. And then I came back in. Robin said, "Did you see anything?" I said, "Well, of course not. I wish I had been a little smarter and I would have walked out toward where it was walking and to see if I could see any kind of shimmer, but I just, that was when I was brand new to the Bigfoot stuff about 3 or 4 years ago. But anyway, it was interesting and it was very real."
Yeah,
they
end up doing it by, everything is energy based, especially with them. Even, I mean, everything is energy based. We already know that. And then with them, you combine that high energy with the high vibration, and that's how they bend the light, and that's why you don't see them anymore.
Okay. I was going to ask about the whole vibration thing, but...
They have really raised vibration.
Yeah, I think they're very high vibrational, and I think that gives them a lot of their abilities, which people don't understand. If you exist at a high vibration, you're kind of in a different dimension, so... You know,
yeah.
There's a lot of abilities that you have in that dimension. So, but I had thought about this quite a bit because I've been asked about it so many times and tried to study it, and you shed a little bit of light on that. But I think a lot of the problem in the Bigfoot community with people not believing this is possible is, one, they haven't witnessed anything that would make them believe that. The other is that they're not open to the idea that it's possible, but also there's a problem with the definition of cloaking. Some people consider, they claim it's an invisibility thing, okay? Some people consider invisibility to mean transparent, like you can see right through it, and you can see whatever is on the other side of it.
You actually can when they do it.
Okay.
Really,
I've never witnessed that before.
No, Shadow came up to me, and he was like 10 feet from me. And this wasn't in the woods. This was out in the open. And when I was in Michigan, I had this big open area off the end of my house, and I was out standing there. I was looking for one of my kids. And he walked up to me. He literally walked up to me, and he was completely full form, flesh and blood. And he got like 10 feet from me, and he stood there and he watched me for I don't know how long. And I stood there and watched him, saw every single thing on him, and which was incredible. And my son was coming towards me from the woods, and I hollered to him because there was also a Bigfoot that was doing the belly crawl through the tall grass. I didn't want him to get scared. And so I hollered to my son, and when I did, I looked over at Shadow, and it frightened him when I hollered. And he cloaked standing right in front of me. And you can, you really and truly, you can, it's like you can see right through them. It doesn't block it. Now, when they do that shimmer where it's a predator effect, when you go to look through them, it's all distorted. It's like if you had gelled water, you know, you're not going to get a crystal clear line of sight through that. You know, everything looks distorted. You can see there's something behind it, but it's kind of, you know, squiggly and distorted. And that's what happens when they do the shimmer.
Okay.
But when they cloak completely, you don't see anything. I have a photo of a female carrying a baby, and she is semi-cloaked. And you can 100% see right through her. But, yeah, you can see the outline of her. You can see her head, her eyes, her face. You can see the baby. You know, it's just crazy.
Okay. John, I've got a question for you real quick. I've got somebody telling me that the link is not working that I posted on my Facebook page. Is there another link we can use?
Well, it would be the link that was that's on the Facebook page of ScaryCast. It should be. I mean, that's the only link that we have.
I'm going to let you guys talk about this for just a second. I'm anxious to hear what Doreen has to say.
Certainly.
And then I'll chime in after she's done.
Yeah. Doreen, did you get that link off the Facebook page for ScaryCast?
Yes, I did, and I've got people messaging me telling me they can't use it. So,
well, that's very strange because that's actually the only link that we've got. Blogtalkradio.com's .. ScaryCast Tuesday.
Yep, I copied it from that. So.
Well, let's see. You might, if you just copied it directly, it won't work. You have to say copy link address, because if you copy it directly, it shortens it up, okay? And so if you right-click on it and say copy link address,
okay,
it'll work. Yeah, that's because it shortens it up, because that's just the way Facebook does. So that would solve that problem right there. Because it wouldn't work just exactly if you copied it and pasted it directly. So that should did you try that one?
I'm working on it right now.
Well, good. And what
I'll
say is,
sorry about that. Anyway, does anybody watch any of the Bigfoot shows on TV? Happened to have somebody point out to me the other night that the last episode, or maybe it was the one before that, of Expedition Bigfoot captured what they thought was a cloaking incident. And I was really happy that they acknowledged that that might be what it is, but I wanted to present it to Robin, the whole concept of it to Robin, to see what she thought about it. Now, Robin, are you still there? She gone?
I think she has moved away to take care of a little personal matter, and she'll be right back. But...
Okay.
You know, it's very interesting about the cloaking. It just, to me, as a PhD-trained scientist, it's a very natural concept. If you have a being that exists at a higher energy level than we do, there are things that they simply can do that we can't. I mean, if you look at a worm, I believe a worm exists at a much lower frequency than we do. And,
right.
But I think we exist at a relatively decent energy level. And sometimes we can do things, we can mind speak. I was talking with a very, very close friend of mine who was telling me that after his prayers, he tends to hear messages from some of the saints that he prays to, and that's just simply mind speak. And that's mm-hmm. what I think is maybe, you know, that's maybe about as far as we can go in terms of enjoying mind speak and hearing the voices of others. This is something that Robin has taught me and all that. But I think that those that exist at a much higher level, the Bigfoots, there's a lot of things that they can do that we just can't. And the fact is, this cloaking, this bending of light is nothing more than the way Army aircraft cloak themselves. And it's just a standard thing. I found out about this 3 or 4 years ago. I read several articles on it, and what they do is they bend light around planes, and that's how they cloak. And so this is a very natural, normal phenomenon. And so it's just, you know, so I did some research. I read some articles and found out this is how they do it. And lo and behold, I believe it. It's part of my belief system. So, and I think if other people would try to find articles on cloaking and read them, I think they'd find it quite interesting because it just seems like a standard, normal thing. I don't know, Doreen. Maybe I'm just one of the crazy guys, but I just do my research, and I found what I wanted, and I added it to my belief system.
I did an article years ago. Hello?
So I just think it's hard for people to wrap their heads around. You know, I mean, we've been taught and programmed to believe certain things. And I think that holds people back a lot on some of the paranormal side of the Bigfoot.
Yeah,
Robin,
and
I just told Doreen that when I heard that cloaking was nothing more than bending light, I went and just went on Google. I looked at how does a plane cloak, and I found a number of articles that they completely explained as much as they could to a person that's not trained in physics. They explained how the cloaking process works for airplane by the government. And once I read that, it made complete sense to me. I added it to my belief system, and it has never been a foreign thing to me. I think these people that have a problem with it, they just need to just go on Google. Google is your friend here, and just find out how do aircraft cloak. I think that's what I did, and it just makes sense.
Well, and if anybody were to want to really look and see how it's tied in with the Bigfoot, I highly recommend Ron Moorhead's book, Quantum Physics. You know, he's got some great information on that. And I think for a lot of your hardcore researchers, and certainly not everyone, because everybody has different beliefs, you're going to find it very hard to ever find a researcher that hasn't had some kind of experience with it. Even the ones that don't believe in it, there have been times that it didn't make sense. The only thing that would make sense is if they cloaked. You know, they do that, what they call counting coup.
Yeah, it explains a lot of things that happen in a Bigfoot encounter, for sure.
Well, it does. And like with counting coup, they cloak, walk up to you, and lay hands on you.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I mean, I've had that happen more times than I can count, Pat as well. And because I have my very thick hair, they love to come up and pat my hair. Like, they get a big kick out of my hair, you know. And when I used to sleep right next to the window in Michigan, and I had a cat that just tore apart all my screens, so the screens were useless. But I liked fresh air at night, so I just opened the window. I wasn't too concerned about it. And I would wake up in the morning with mud and leaves in my hair. And I tried to put an air conditioner in that window, and I woke up in the morning and the air conditioner had been ripped out of the window and it was out in the middle of the woods. Now, how they did it without waking me up, I have no idea. The only thing I can think of is they do that trancing thing where you just stay quiet, you stay asleep, and, you know, they do whatever. But, yeah, it's hard to believe, and I understand why it's hard for people to accept. I do. You know, most people, you got to see it to believe it. But when they cloak, you don't see it.
This is what I say, and I think people need to realize this. What we see and what we perceive is only a very tiny fraction our senses can only perceive just a little bit of what goes on in this big wide world. You take a dog, you know, and here's my example. You ever seen a dog just stand there and bark at nothing? Well, they obviously see something that we can't. They're seeing something that's vibrating, or you know, that we can't. So, I mean, I think anybody just needs to take that very small piece of scientific advice and realize that, you know, there's lots of stuff around here. Okay, I keep a picture of a major holy man right next to my couch where I sleep and right next to my computer. And I won't go anywhere without this picture of this major holy man. I think it brings vibes. I think it protects me. I think it's important because I know that there's something going on around here that I can't see. And I do my best. You know, I keep Bibles around me. I'm looking at two Bibles and a picture of Baha'u'llah's son of the Baha'i faith. And that's what I think. And so things seem to be pretty cool here and calm. But people need to understand that we don't see everything that's out there. And Doreen and Robin, I hope you'll agree with me. We don't.
No, we don't. We have our eyes are trained to see a certain way, and our eyes are trained by what we've been taught and told is there. And I've said this many times on, you know, several different shows. The reality that we thought was there and that we see is actually not. You know,
we don't see with our eyes. We don't see with our eyes. Our eyes are a lens. Two little lenses in our head. We don't see with them. We see with this organ in the back of our brain called the visual cortex. We see with our brains. And everyone's brain is different. We all have totally different perceptions of what we're seeing because our life experiences are totally different.
Yeah.
Our brains look at something through what we already think we know. So when they're looking at something, we got five people looking at something, witnessing something, they will interpret it five different ways. So this is the problem with eyewitness accounts and people seeing things and people making determinations about what other people see or what evidence they present. Everybody's going to look at it differently. Everybody's going to have a different idea about it. Everybody's coming in from different life experiences and different experiences of Bigfoot, different experiences of reality. So none of them are going to see it exactly the same way. I show some of my pictures to people to see what their reactions are because it's a good experiment to see what people are actually seeing when they look at them because I know what's there. But when they look at it, some people will see nothing at all. They'll think I'm just losing my mind. Others will see different things than what I see. Others will see what they think is something, but they're not really sure. So, I mean, trying to show people evidence of cloaking or, you know, the kind of stealth that I talk about that Bigfoot uses, they're not going to all see it the same way, and this is the problem with trying to present what we would like to think is evidence of what's out there and what's really going on. So we can't – I don't know what the answer is other than trying to change people's perceptions a little bit, and that is something that takes a whole heck of a lot of time. And they have to be willing to have their perceptions changed. And they have to be willing to look at something and say, I want to see what you're seeing, but I'm not seeing it right now. So that's what we're up against in trying to prove this actually takes place is getting people's perceptions in line. And not only that, but their senses, their other senses besides what they're seeing. Because most of the time when I'm out in the woods, I'm not worried about what I'm seeing. I'm worried about what I'm feeling when I'm looking around. I can tell a lot more by what I'm feeling than what I'm seeing, because I don't see anything when I'm out there initially. And I'm running video camera, I'm taking pictures and things like that, and things come up after I get home and I look at the pictures. But when I'm looking around there, I see nothing when I'm right there in the woods. I see nothing
okay,
at all, but I can see a whole heck of a lot. So your
Doreen,
other senses come into this too.
You know, this is Dr. John. I've got something that I would like to share with you that might clarify some of this. This is something that Dr. Trey Donaway and I have discussed twice on ScaryCast, and I learned it, believe it or not, in the sales field. There is something in the back of our brain called the reticular activation system. What it is that when we want to learn to see something, a filter develops in our brainstem. Like here's a perfect example. I was looking for businesses that had 5 to 25 employees. I was driving along Highway 9. I could not see any. I mean, it just nothing registered. The next morning when I drove along Highway 9, I came up with 40 of them. Now, there was a major change between day one when I couldn't see any and day two when I identified so many of them and I went and talked to them. And Harvey, my buddy that I work with at Transamerica, he's the one that first told me about the reticular activation system. It's something that we develop as we want to look and see something. We create this mesh in our brainstem. And this is, and Dr. Trey and I believe, this has a lot to do with folks that seem to develop psychic abilities. They're creating this mesh where they can see and interact. They become a little bit different. So everybody has got, you know, it's like when you show a lady that does a ton of sewing, you show her a quilt that was made, and she can tell you exactly what's right and what's wrong with it. But the person that made it might just be so glad that they got it done. So there are biological changes, and it's really interesting. He said, well, you know, I was in medical school, and they talked about it for a couple of hours, and nobody was particularly interested, and we didn't know why. Nobody knew what reticular activation system was, but it's this thing in our brainstem that starts creating a filter that allows us to see things. And I think people that have big – it's interesting. I've found – that people that have Bigfoot experiences tend to have UFO experiences, and they also tend to have spiritual or ghost experiences. It's like their reticular activation syndrome allows them to start picking these things out of the world. But yet people that don't have it, they haven't trained their brain to see it, they don't. And I think, and that's one thing that Trey and I want to write an article about. We want to do some research and find out what could we better do, and or how much easier could we make it on ourselves to see these marvelous things that we want to see, to kind of get ourselves outside of that small little range that humans see and maybe expand it to more like maybe a little bit what dogs are seeing. So we're going to be looking into that this year and trying to publish a paper on it, so that I think, you know, it might just be some exercises you can do, and it might be something that folks that want to see Bigfoot can do, and they can start having more experiences because they can sense them. So there's my little bit of science, and we're going to try to do this and make it a great thing for people.
Well, and that would be an exciting thing for me to see. But also, I'm thinking in the back of my mind that there are going to be a lot of people that are not going to want anything to do with that. they're not going to see some things. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works out. And I'd be curious what that might, if there's any link at all to third eye activation or anything like that? Have you ever thought about anything like that? Because,
well, no, I haven't, but I'll tell you, I'm familiar with the third eye, and you just brought up something that I'm going to jot down on our research agenda, And we can certainly take a look at that because it might be, you might have brought up a little bit of an explosive and interesting topic that might be related. And I think that's great. And thank you. I mean, I'm putting that on our research agenda. Thanks.
Right. Yeah. Third eye activation is really key in people and their psychic abilities and how they perceive things and how, you know, it's all – it just sounded – when you were talking about that subject with the brain, I was thinking about the pineal gland, however they pronounce it. That's what came to mind when you were talking about that. So I would be curious if there's some kind of link to the pineal gland. And
we'll check it out. We'll let you know to the best of our ability. It's great having an MD like Trey Dunaway on ScaryCast, who is truly interested in the research world of this, like I am, and it's just great. That's one reason I like this so much is you can really work hard and find good scientific research that start explaining things, and that's important. So and you're right. I mean, not everybody's going to be interested, but I bet I've got a lot of friends. A lot of my crazy friends will be interested in this.
I was thinking I knew a few people that would not want to see any of that stuff at all. So it would be curious to see how many people would jump at that chance, but I certainly would.
Is start doing some of the energy work. I know for myself, when I'm doing the energy work and you're bringing up that vibration, it ends up working like a beacon. It truly does. I mean, not that you're going to sit there and see physical light going up into the sky, but for a lot of these cryptids and a lot of these other things, when that energy, and I don't mean get your energy up by like running in place or whatever, it comes from within you. Everybody has a white light and energy. Everything in this world is energy based. And if you feel like your energy is down, go stand on the ground barefooted, let your feet touch the earth, pull the energy up from the earth and into your body. I mean, I literally have had people, I've told them how to do it, go out and do it, and they're like, I haven't had this much energy in years. Because you can't, the earth is an energy battery. It's the biggest battery we have. Access it. But when your energy is up and your vibration is up, it kicks in all these other senses. It makes it easy for you to have mind speak, and it makes it easier for you to see things that you may not have seen before. And it's like this giant beacon that calls in everything.
Because you enter another dimension at that point. Once your vibration is that much higher, that people talk about interdimensional travel, how that's too hard or that would take too much energy. That's not possible. It's possible through the workings of your mind. It's getting your vibration up to a certain level. And once you raise your vibration, you can raise it high enough to take yourself into the fifth dimension and beyond. But it does take some concentration and work, but it's all your mind. It's all your mind that's doing that. It's thinking positive thoughts. It's getting out of your head, stopping yourself from thinking so much, staying in the present moment, things like that, raises your vibration, and that automatically takes you to a higher level. So you're actually reaching a higher dimension by meditation and things like that, all those things that raise your vibration up. Interdimensional travel is easy once you realize that that's all you have to do it. It just takes a little effort on your part, but we're all capable of doing it. We've just been sucked down into third dimensional timelines where we're all sitting here in this crappy world, and we don't have to stay here. We can all take ourselves up, and we can have a complete experience of life that's so much better than what we're having. But we're sucked down lower.
Yeah. I do want to make one point just because, like everybody knows, I'm like the safety police. Meditation is a great way to do this. Meditation can be a great thing, but just the disclaimer on the meditation is this, and I only say this because I work with people that have had problems. when you're doing this, Doreen's 100% right, 1,000% right. But when it comes to meditation, I do caution people, when you get in that higher vibrational state, it makes it easy for things to communicate with you, good and bad. Not everything is good, not everything is bad, but until, excuse me, you know how to read an energy signature to be able to tell, don't talk to everything. Don't talk to anything. Do what you're going to do. Raise your energy. Raise your vibration. Do exactly what Doreen just told you to do because she's right on the money with it. But that doesn't mean to start talking to things when in a meditative state. Because
you have to be able, you have to have the intuition to be able to discern what you're talking to.
Exactly. I just wanted to put this out there because I get a lot of people that come to me that were gung-ho about doing it. They got into that meditative state and things were talking to them. And the bad stuff will tell you they're good. I mean, that's why they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
They'll lie to you. And then people think that, and then they come to me and they're like, well, now I've got this problem, you know, help me with it, which of course I will. But I just wanted to put that out there kind of like a disclaimer.
Right, and I agree. I agree. Once you start to rise higher, there are things that are going to try to take you down. So,
yeah.
And that's happened to me personally. They'll break into your meditations, try to scramble your, try to make you think in the middle of it. Think about terrible things. They'll put thoughts in your mind and things like that. Anyway, we're off topic here. But what I'm trying to say is that raising your vibration raises your experience. And I think that my experience with Bigfoot has heightened since I've raised my vibration. And that's what Robin was trying to say, too. And you experience more at that point because you can't experience anything unless you're a vibrational match to it. And I think that a lot of the negative experiences that people had with Bigfoot in the past were due to terrible vibrational differences. A low vibrational being like us getting close to a high vibrational being like them. I think that explains zapping, what people used to call zapping. And things like that. People would have instances of vertigo. I think when people have vertigo, that's the vibrational difference.
It is. So, if you get too close to them, their energy and vibration, if you can't match it, will make you dizzy. And the other thing, this happened to me eons ago. I mean, way, 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 way back, was I would get a bunch of them around me at one time and because at that time I really didn't know what was going on. Like I said, this was 20, 30 years ago, and you get that many around you, and just that energy flux and the vibration change will make you dizzy. That doesn't mean they're zapping you. When they zap you, they're throwing energy at you, and trust me, you're going to know it. Now, I personally have not gone through it. I'm sure my day's coming, but I personally haven't, but I've had people stand next to me and get put on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it happens, but it is. You have that many of them around you, and that change in the energy and the change in the vibration will make you woozy. It'll make you off balance.
Well, and I've made up my mind recently to not even enter the woods unless my vibration is up. If my vibration is low, I don't even go in. I have a much better experience of everything if my vibration is high before I ever enter the woods. And I think that my friends out there understand the difference. Of course they do. So
yeah.
I think there's a better response. It's just like you have a better response from other people if your vibration is high. So
oh, yeah.
It's totally different. So, but as far as cloaking is definitely, it's got to be vibrational. And you've explained some about that. I did an article, it's been 5 or 6 years ago now about this, when nobody was talking about it. I thought, well, everybody's telling me, they're sending me messages on Facebook in secret saying, well, you know, this happened to me. How do you suppose that could happen? And anyway, I did an article about a new technology that was developed in Canada, military, that was called quantum cell technology. And, you know, as they do stealth with their aircraft and things like that, they were developing a stealth camouflage technology for combat situations in which the soldiers could cloak themselves completely anywhere. So that said to me, just like John was saying, it's a perfectly natural kind of thing to be able to cloak. It's not that complicated.
It's really
to be able
not.
To do it.
No,
yeah.
And I went out tonight, you know, we have a couple of mini pigs, and then of course we have our dogs, and they were out in the backyard, and I went to go bring everybody in, and they were barking at a certain side of the backyard, which has got a lot of heavy brush in it, and the foots like to hang out in there all the time anyway, and they were just going nuts, and I thought, okay, whatever. So I brought them all in. Now, the pigs are in, the dogs are in, and something kept telling me there was something still in the backyard. So I go out in the backyard, and I can feel their energy out there. Because, I mean, once you know what it feels like, you know it. You can
right.
be inside the house doing whatever, but when they're around, you can feel it. So I go out there, and I know exactly where it's at because I can feel that energy signature. And I hear this weird barking like it's a dog. And there's no dog there. I'm standing out in the yard, and I'm listening to this dog bark that is not even the bark of one that's ours, and I can tell exactly where it's at. And it was halfway, I could see it. It was halfway between a shimmer and a cloak, and then it left the whole shimmer stage. It was completely not there, and it's still barking. And I was like, okay. I don't get excited about it. I'm just like, okay.
Odd things are a daily occurrence for you, so it's just,
yeah,
there's an unlimited number of stories, as you can tell, so that's why I wanted to ask some of your cloaking stories, because.
Yeah, I had one that literally, I was right outside, you know, I went out my driveway, and I probably went, I want to say 50 to 60 feet down the road, and I live on a dirt road, and it's all wooded around. And this deer came running from the side of the road and crossed the road, and this thing was just hauling butt. I mean, it ran directly across the road. You know how they kind of leap. And right behind it, you could see brush moving, but you couldn't see anything. And then it was a Bigfoot. It came right up and leaped off the side of the road. It landed in the middle of the road. It uncloaked. It was like a sandy brown color, a little bit darker maybe. It uncloaked, looked at me in the car, and then it just left right up in the air after the deer. And three quarters of the way up before it landed on the ground again, it was cloaked again.
Oh, my. So
it was pretty easy.
Yeah, it's pretty easy for them to go in and out, because that's what I've observed, too. It's like, you know, they look different every second, it seems like.
Yeah.
They can change the degree, so it's pretty automatic, like John says, pretty natural. I just remember when I was in Canada, this has been many years ago, it's probably been 30 years ago now, but when I was in Canada, I had my first encounter with Bigfoot, and I didn't see one, I heard one. I went out, we were in a cabin up at Lake of the Woods in near Manitoba, and I heard a whooping sound, I guess more than one whooping sound, sounded like apes in the woods when I went out in the dark. I just went out to my truck to get something out of my truck and was going to take it right back in the house. And I realized what I heard wasn't owls or anything like that. I'd camped and hiked enough that I knew the difference, and this sounded like more like monkeys, like something that you would hear in some jungle somewhere. So I'm like, okay, and I went back in the house and I said, well, I think I heard Bigfoot outside, and everybody got a big kick out of that. Good laugh, you know. And the next day we were all getting ready to take a boat out on the lake, and we looked up on the hill, and a pretty good sized tree was just shaking violently. And there was nothing there. We thought maybe there was a bear or a moose. You know, we all got kind of worked up about it because it had to be something big, and never, ever saw a single thing. And I've always wondered about that now, especially when they started talking about cloaking. We were looking for anything that could have shaken that tree like that, and there was just nothing there.
Yeah.
So when they started talking about cloaking, yeah. So, yeah, we've all had our experiences, but
it's really odd. Like Pat and I will look and, you know, be sitting in the house and look out the windows and, you know, I don't have curtains on anything because they don't like it with the curtains up and it drives everybody that visits crazy, but I don't have curtains up. I change in the privacy of my bathroom. So, you know, it's all good. And I'm out in the woods.
What's going on in the yard? People
but
like, even want to see what's going on out there.
I know.
I would.
That's great. Yeah, it's like inquiring minds want to know. So we can sit on the couch and look out into the front room. You know, there's a sitting area and a foyer, and then you can see out in the front yard. And you see a body part. Like, I don't understand that. That's always been a bizarre thing to me. But they'll be cloaked, and it's like they start to uncloak for a second, and you'll see an arm or you'll see a leg or you'll see a shoulder or even a butt. And then it only lasts for a couple seconds, and then everything's cloaked. And they do that in the backyard too. And the one night we were out there, and this was just not even a month ago now, there was a white one that was out there, and I think it was a female. But anyway, she went down on all fours and ran across the backyard. Pat and I were standing in the doorway letting the dogs in, and she ran across the backyard, and then she stood up in the woods, and then she just stood there staring at us. And Pat said, "Look at over there, there's a black one." And he was peeking around the tree, and he started to walk towards her, and then he cloaked. And then I thought at first, I really believed at first it was a dog because it was smaller. It was, you know, like a large dog size. But the movement on it could not possibly have been a dog. It was just too, you know, the dog's legs aren't going to be jointed like that. And it was obviously it was a baby. But it went running towards the female, and then it cloaked too. You know, and I mean, it was just crazy. But my next door neighbors see it as well. I mean, they've come over and got me to tell me about it. And the one, her son, and he's in his 30s, was out there. And he said it was a huge male. He didn't even know that they had him in South Carolina. I told him they did. But he thought maybe mine were just in Michigan that I saw. And I kept telling him, no. He was out there standing at the tree line throwing brush into the woods. And he must have thrown it where the Bigfoot was standing at cloaked. And it uncloaked in front of him, and it kind of made a gurgled noise. It never tried to touch him, never tried to harm him. He's like 6'3", 6'4", scared the crap out of him. And when I saw him that night, I said to him, I said, when it took off, I'm just curious, did it leave on two legs or did it go down on all fours? He said, this is what I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around this. And I said, what? And he knew nothing about cloaking. That part I had never talked to him about. And he said, it was there, Robin. It was in front of me. And then it just wasn't there anymore. And he said, I tried to see where the brush was moving to find out which way he went because I wanted to make sure I didn't go that way. And he said, none of the brush was moving. And it's a heavy thicketed area. He said, none of the brush was moving. Nothing changed. You didn't see a branch move. You saw nothing. He said, I can't imagine anything is that fast because there was no way he could have left without moving the brush. And he said, but he did. I said, because he never left. He was standing in front of you and he cloaked. You know, and he said, I had no idea that he'd do that. But he said, that's the only thing he said that makes sense because none of the brush moved. You know, none of the branch. The brush didn't move. He didn't hear any noise of it running off. I mean, even cloaked. You can hear them running off. The only time you're not going to hear them running off is if they're levitating, which they can do. So if they're levitating, you're not going to hear anything. But if they're just running, which is primarily what they're going to do cloaked, you hear them going. I had a very, very large male in Texas that was after some children, and I put myself between the kids and this thing, and it bluff charged me. You could feel the ground shake. I saw him when he started, and then I didn't see him anymore. He went right by me, leveled the brush next to me, blew my hair right off my shoulders. He was that close. Mm. I never saw him. I felt the vibration in the ground. I saw him when he first charged me, and then I didn't see him. But the entire brush got leveled to the ground. My hair, the breeze from him, blew my hair off my shoulder onto my back.
Yeah, because he's big.
He was
can't see him.
No, he was completely 100% cloaked. And the entire time he was cloaked, you could feel the ground vibrate as he ran, and you could hear him coming closer. And I was standing next to an extremely large palmetto bush, leveled the entire thing. Like there was nothing left except the roots because he hit it that hard. And nobody ever saw him other than that first glimpse of him when he took off at me.
Any idea why he was after the kids?
The gentleman that was a friend of mine was trying to set up this research area, and it was in protected land, but it was somebody that he knew owned it. It was like 100 acres. And I had flown to Texas to see this person and help him set up this research area. And he had his grandkids that day. And he took us to the back, and he said, oh, there's all these berry bushes. And he said, I find lots of footprints and stuff. So we got out of the truck, and there was an old tree stand there, and the kids ran up the tree stand. And I'm looking around, and the people that owned the place actually left in the middle of the night. They left their home, their belongings, everything. So that right there tells you the mindset of what was ever running around. And we found dead deer skulls with horns on them on the porch. And so he drove us back there, and, of course, I wasn't aware, you know, the area is first time there. The kids are up the tree stand. I'm looking down, and there's literally carcasses and bones everywhere. And I looked at him, and I said, listen, you just brought your grandkids to where they eat. This is their dinner table. We're not supposed to be here. And he's like, oh, no, it's fine. I said, you're not listening to me. This isn't fine. And you could see movement. It took us into almost like an alcove, so there was only one way out. And in this horse-shaped area, you could see the brush moving where they were coming in from all sides. And the kids are in the tree, up in the tree stand, and they saw them coming in from all sides. So now they're scared, and they don't want to come down. And the adult male, I tried talking to him. You know, I apologized for being there. And he said, leave, but leave the children. And I said, I mean, I don't know if they intended to kill the children, take the children. He never said. He just said, leave the children. And I said, I won't do that. And he said, you will leave the children or you will die. And I said, I have permission to be here. I'm not leaving, and I'm not leaving without the children. And he threatened me. And I said, I'm not going. So I just stood between where the kids were. I actually moved towards him so that I was past where the kids were in the tree stand. And when I did that, I told the kids to come down. So the kids started coming down, and that was when he bluff charged. And when he bluff charged, of course, it leveled that bush, which scared the kids, and they went right back up the tree stand. So I'm trying to make light of it because I can't get freaked out because I've got three little kids counting on me to get them out of this mess that they shouldn't have been in to begin with. And I'm like, oh, no, he's and, you know, look, there's a stick on the ground. He just threw the stick, and it knocked out the bush, and, you know, because they didn't know anything about cloaking, and they couldn't see him. And so I was, like, making light of it and trying to laugh. And, oh, let's go down. You know, Grandpa and I will take and get ice cream. It's going to be fun. And I got him down the tree stand. I said to my friend, I said, get the kids in the truck. And he said, well, come on. I said, get them in the truck. Lock their doors in yours and leave my door open. I'm not budging until you're in the truck with the kids. So that's what he did. And then I backed up because I wasn't about to turn my back on him. I got in the truck, slammed the door, and said, get out of here. So we took off, and the thing ran up and punched the back of the truck. I don't think he ever got in the back. I think he just hit it as hard as he could. And we got out of there.
Wow.
You know,
scary.
It was pretty hairy. Yeah, it was pretty hairy.
I started to talk about this earlier when you slipped out for a few minutes. I was thinking that if this is real, and I don't know if it is or not, a couple weeks ago on the TV show Expedition Bigfoot, which I never watch, but somebody brought it to my attention, they mentioned cloaking, and they filmed an incident of cloaking or what they claimed they thought might be cloaking. And I was really surprised. I was happy that they at least mentioned it. And I was really surprised, but, you know, they're doing their typical Bigfoot TV show stuff where they're running around in the dark. And I think it was Washington. I'm not entirely sure. But anyway, running around in the dark in the woods, and they shined a bright flashlight on a cliffside. And they saw a shadow go across. It wasn't an actual Bigfoot. It was a shadow. And what they were talking about, what they were trying to explain, was that if this Bigfoot was cloaked, then it was actually standing there, but we couldn't see it. But the flashlight caused the shadow. Are you following me with this?
Yeah. And so, I'm not going to say it's possible.
My opinion
on it, we went one time, of course, we already know if you take a photograph of a Bigfoot that's cloaked or a dogman or any of the cryptids, including the ETs, by the way, if you take a picture while they're cloaked, they do show up on film.
They do.
Is it possible?
They do.
Yes, 100%. And so, and I've got proof of it. So if you were to take, per se, a flashlight, I don't necessarily believe that you would see them automatically in physical form like you do on a camera lens, because you will get a clear picture of them as if in physical form. But mm-hmm. I would think that you would pick up something, whether it would make them go from a regular cloak back to the shimmer, whether it would go into a shadow. I believe that could happen.
Okay, well, you were talking about when they become completely invisible, they're transparent.
Yeah.
If it was transparent at that point and they flashed the flashlight, there would have been no shadow, thanks. So,
right. It would have had to have been more in like a shimmer mode.
Okay, and when you say shimmer, be clear on what you mean. You're talking about like full-on camouflage.
When they go into that shimmer, it looks like gelled water. It looks like the movie Predator.
Yeah.
Movie.
And
that's
and
what
I've
they
seen that.
What I consider to be the shimmer. You'll see where almost like where they're at, the pixels of what you're looking at fluctuate. It looks like looking through a glass of water.
Right.
Most of the time, it's almost gelled. You'll see people that talk about seeing something moving through the woods, and it looks, and I hate to use this as an example. I really do, because it's a Hollywood effect for a movie. So I hate really to my core to use that as an example, but that's really what people most can identify with. So that's why I say that. But it is.
Right.
It's like a shimmer is – you're going to see a fluctuation in it. And sometimes if you take a photograph and they're not cloaked, they are shimmering. They won't show up on the lens, but what will show up is distorted pixels on your photo.
Right.
And a lot of people mm-hmm. will see that where everything's crystal clear except one area, there's generally
right.
a cryptid in that. That's why the pixels are distorted. They weren't cloaking. They were shimmering.
Okay.
Because
and I've noticed some
different things.
Yeah, I've noticed sometimes, too, that area is a slightly different color even.
Yeah.
If you kind of look, it might not be as green as the background bush or tree or whatever.
Yeah, it's the energy and the vibration that distorts it all.
Yeah.
You know, I hear people all the time, well, if Bigfoot's real, why can't we get a clear picture? And sometimes you can. Patty's picture is crystal clear. I have some that I think are quite clear. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, those pictures are taken where the subject is not directly in the center. Talk to somebody filming. I just got done filming a couple of different projects not too long ago. They didn't put me in the middle. They off-center it, because when you put it as a center focus, it doesn't give you a clear photo. It's the same with the Bigfoot. And now, with the Bigfoot, you're looking at something that's at a higher vibration and a higher energy, and it blurs it. And they can make it blur on their own. They don't have to, but naturally it's going to blur anyway. Offset them on that camera, you've got a better chance.
Okay, so here's the thing. you know, I've gone over and over this in my mind for the last 10 years that I've been studying all this. And I want to know what you think about it, because you have a little bit, you're a little closer to it, like I said. Why can they do this? Is my question. Why do they have the ability to do this? And the only thing I can think of is anytime any being, any living being has an ability, it's usually a survival mechanism. And, you know, knowing the history of Bigfoot and how they've been treated historically by us, I just wonder what your thoughts were on that, of why this happens, if you've ever asked them why they can do it.
Well, we know how they do it, but the why they do it is pretty much what you were talking about. I mean, first of all, we need to be clear on what they really are. And I know this is another controversial topic. The genetics.
Yes, I've heard about it too. Yeah.
They're a human hybrid. Now, take the study, put it aside. What next I say has nothing to do with the study, nothing to do with those findings. This is just me, myself. When I asked them what they are, they told me they were human like me and star people. So if you're looking at that father's side, which scientifically speaking, they don't know what it is. So that's the only place you can fit that in. And they have these crazy abilities. But they are a type of people. Now, even our people, we have that, you know, fight or flight mode in us. If we're in a dangerous situation, our body automatically reacts and we take off.
Right.
It's an instinct. It's programmed in our brain. If we are caught in a situation that is dangerous for us, we're out of there. It's not any different from them. And, you know, the other thing is, like you said, our people have been horrid to them. I mean, we really and truly have. It's like we didn't learn enough when we treated the Native Americans poorly. Let's now do it with them. You know, they are hunted. They are terrorized. Their families are threatened. So they have these uncanny abilities, like nothing that we can comprehend. And they go deep enough that, you know, that would have to be another show because there's just not that much time.
Yeah,
and so
right.
When these situations are encountered, it's an instinct. They instinctively do it. They don't even have to think about it. You know, it's just like when Shadow was standing right next to me. He was close enough for me to really, he was like less than 10 feet. I could have easily stretched my arm out, took a step forward to him and touched him. He was that close. And yet stood there looking at me. Well, I'm looking at him. But when I hollered for my son, the second I hollered for my son, he was close. I mean, it was instantaneous. They don't have to think about it. It's second nature. If anything in them, and this is my own personal thought, they're already a higher vibration. When startled, when frightened, if you look at yourself and you get scared, your blood pressure comes up. Your energy comes up because you're scared. I think that not only can they cloak whenever they wish to, but I think in that moment, if they're frightened and it raises that vibration, it automatically happens. Because I have had them, you know, get startled, be out in the yard or whatever, and get startled and cloaked, and then within a millisecond, they're just back to being flesh and blood, and they're walking through the backyard.
Okay.
So
all
I
right.
Think that can they do it at will, that it is an instinctual thing where if their vibration gets too high, it's happening.
Well, I did an article, and this has been a long, long time ago before anybody was talking very much about interdimensional travel or cloaking or was all believed to be kind of hokum. I did an article about why they had such amazing abilities without cloaking. I mean, without me knowing about cloaking, they were pretty amazing beings and how well they could hide from us. And I posed the question of whether or not they had adapted this way, because, like I said, they adapt it as a survival mechanism usually. If they had adapted this way from maybe possibly, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years of dealing with us.
Well, I'm not going to say it's not possible. I think they've always been able to do it since they were created. I mean, these are something that were ET created. I think our government created their own little brand of them, but originally they, you know, primarily they're all ET created. But the thing too with it is they all have these abilities. They are born like that genetically. However,
right.
And there's a loophole. If a certain clan chooses not to work with those parameters of the abilities and they don't teach the children they have it, they don't know they have it. Telepathy,
yeah.
They're all connected consciously, and they all are telepathic. But you do have sectors that don't use the abilities, and you have some that are more prone to it. But if these children are born and they aren't taught that they can do this, they don't know they can. And whenever I talk about this with anybody, I refer back to Kevin Lang Glagg. You know, when Kevin found Glagg, he didn't know anything about cloaking or paranormal abilities or anything. And he was around Kevin for several years, you know, and he grew up. And when Kevin finally got him integrated with a clan, they were a clan. And this is, you know, just to my knowledge, he now uses these abilities where he didn't before he had gotten with that clan that said, hey, this is, you know, this is how it works. This is what goes on. You know, speaking telepathically, they're all going to do it. You know, I've talked to Glagg, and Pat's talked to Glagg. I know several people that have talked to Glagg. I mean, it's not like I'm the only one. He's literally talked to quite a few. But now he uses those abilities where he didn't know he had them. You know, it's like I'm able to speak telepathic and mind speak. My husband is. My children don't, not because they can't. They've chosen not to be part of that world. My daughter's gotten mind speak before, and she doesn't fight it, but she doesn't try to do it. But, you know, you have people that just don't even know that that exists, and they don't make any effort to. And it's the same way with them. I mean, if they have a clan that wants to be more old school in a time when they weren't hunted and terrorized, I mean, I do think the usage of all these abilities is more prone because of what we've done to them. I think they've always had them. I think they use them more now because of us. But there are sectors that have chosen not to and have chosen to live more of the simple lifestyle. I mean, being telepathic, that's normal. That's their thing. You know, I mean, they speak verbally, but they essentially, through their raised consciousness, are all connected. But, I mean, I think that there's groups that will use it more than others just based on the instinct to survive, you know, with us around.
Okay, the family that I've been connected to for the last, oh, it's been 7 years now, live their life cloaked in some way, it seems like. I've never gotten a clear picture of them ever. It's always, you know, formed in the brush, cloaked all the time. And I just wonder sometimes if it's not their location that is a factor as far as, you know, like the ones living out in the wilderness in Oregon or Washington,
right. Oh,
don't
I agree.
Necessarily need to be cloaked all the time. But like if they're living here in the east around the cities, like mine
right.
are, this is a small city that I live in, and they wander around inside the city because there's forested areas and there's a creek that runs through here and everything, and I find evidence of them everywhere inside the city, and they seem to be cloaked all the time, in my experience anyway. So I just kind of wondered if possibly
no,
they're located.
I think you're dead right on it. I honestly do. Like, we've talked before, and I've mind spoke with the ones that, you know, that are by you, and you know, they're very hesitant and they're very reluctant even to speak telepathically. You know, I mean, they're basically on guard all the time. They're fine with you, but I think, like you were talking, I really firmly agree with you that it has to do with the outside things that go on around there as to why they stay hidden most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, they're so big. I mean, imagine if somebody saw something that huge. walking around my neighborhood, you know. I mean,
I can only imagine.
They have to be cloaked in order to, you know, I mean, can you imagine the uproar? I mean, but, yeah, you're talking about some of them don't, and maybe part of it is necessity if they do. So
right.
I think that's very interesting. So,
yeah,
but,
I think you're absolutely right on that, especially with the ones in your area. You know, I mean, they'll cloak to ambush, you know, prey. But the thing is, animals pick up vibrations and energy before we ever do. You know, so
right.
that kind of slows them down with that, too. And I think when they're hunting, not that they're not going to be cloaked and go after them, but it takes energy, and they have to raise that energy, raise that up, that vibration in order to cloak. So even going after prey, I personally think that they are more prone to want to do that in physical form, because it takes less energy and they can focus on the prey.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, that one male that came flying across the road after the deer, he was cloak chasing that deer. He uncloaked when he landed in the middle of the yard or the road. And then when he jumped back up halfway through the jump back up, he recloaked. So, I mean, some of them obviously do.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just trying to get at the reason why it happens and try to pinpoint.
Yeah.
Something, you know, something
on the right path with it. I really do, because when I was living at the one location in Michigan, and I was born and raised in Michigan, I'm moving back there, and the one location I was at, they were very, there were houses. I want to make that, people keep saying, well, you were off by yourself. No, I really wasn't. I had 10 acres. There was someone that lived on the west side of me. The house on the east side of me, however, nobody lived there. It was my in-laws. It was being remodeled. It was empty. So they literally had 20 acres of that they could run on, and then the property passed that the county owned. There was nobody back there. So there was all this open area, but on the other side of me, there was four houses. And the trees outlined it anyway, so it was very secluded. But they walked around uncloaked all the time. Like, I mean, they didn't care. It didn't have to be night, day, night,
yeah.
Whatever. There wasn't a set time, you know. I think the only time that it was extremely quiet was probably between 6 a.m. and noon. That was the quietest part of the day. And I had seen them before during that time span, but not much. From noon until 6 a.m. the next morning, it was pretty much a free zone, and everybody walked all over. You would see the children walk through. I pulled in the driveway from the grocery store one time, and, you know, I used to get ragged on all the time. Everybody called me Bagel Girl because they loved Dualberry bagels. I mean, nobody should ever buy as many bagels as I bought. It was ridiculous. I mean, they would come in on the truck at the grocery store, and we lived in a small town, and they would just set them aside because they knew I was coming. People would come visit me, and I didn't allow many people that knew about them to come just for their own protection, not for our people's protection, but for the Bigfoot's protection. But the few people I let, this one lady, every time she came, she brought a huge, huge grocery bag full of nothing but bagels. They loved it. But anyway, I pulled into the yard, and I pulled up to the front porch. I was going to unload my groceries, and there was this little tiny guy that was sitting there. He was so cute. He was all black, all, you know, covered in hair, sitting there eating a bagel. And he must have, it was early in the day. Like, you know, I normally didn't see a lot of activity before noon. And it was like 11 o'clock, and he was just sitting out in the open, chowing down on a bagel. And I pulled in, and he was so mad. He looked at me, stood up, and just hurled the bagel at the truck and then ran in the woods. I was like, I'm so sorry. But yeah, but they didn't have a fear base there. They knew they were safe. You know,
yeah.
I kept my garage door open 24/7. They didn't live on my property. I knew where they did come from, but they didn't live at my place. But I kept the garage door open. So if, you know, bad weather hit or they needed shelter or whatever, so nobody would see them, they had that. And believe me, they took full advantage of it. Half my garage ended up in the back of the 10 acres. But, you know, it's very common for people that came to visit me. I had a friend that had no idea that Bigfoot even existed. And you would drive to get to my house. You'd drive down my driveway, which was long, and you drove through the woods to get to the house. And I didn't know she was coming over. I normally warned all of them before anybody came. and she pulled down that driveway, and one that I'm very close to ran across the driveway. And she pulled in, ran in the house, grabbed me, drugged me into my bedroom. And she's like, we have to talk. And I said, what's the matter? She said, I didn't want to frighten anybody. Do you have any idea what I just saw? And I said, you saw Bigfoot, didn't you? She said, they don't exist. I said, well, they do here. And she said, I can't believe I just saw that. It literally ran in front of my car and crossed the driveway. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Just breathe in and out. You get used to it, you know. In and out. I knew which one it was. When it happened, he told me, he's like, I'm sorry, I was sighted. You know, and I'm like, okay. So I was kind of prepared. I didn't know what she would say, but I'm like, just breathe in and out. You get used to it. It's going to be okay. Well, what is it going to do? Is it going to hurt anybody? I'm like, it's not going to hurt anybody. He's perfectly fine. You know, other
can
than
you
the
Can you imagine being her, you know? I mean, it's like,
oh, yeah.
Post your police dress.
Yeah, broad daylight, scared the tar out of her. And I'm like, the only person that I've ever seen him go after was my ex-husband and the furnace repair guy they weren't thrilled with. You know, they're fixing the furnace. And the kids are in my this is with my ex-husband, and he was gone to work, and the kids are and I are in the house, and the furnace guy had to come out. It was 11:30 at night, and I'm telling the kids, I want you to just keep the guy occupied. And they're like, well, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going out to the woods, because if I don't let them know we're okay, it's going to get bad, and we're going to freeze to death. So I'm like standing by the woods, and rocks are getting thrown towards the house. And I'm like, guys, it's fine. You know, we don't have hair. We have to have heat. And they're going, make fire, make fire. And I'm like, I can't make fire inside my cave, okay? And so they held off, and they got in the truck. And as he went to leave, rocks were getting thrown at the back of his vehicle the whole way out the driveway. But at least we had heat. Yeah.
Okay, so what do we tell people who actually want are open to this and want to see them? I mean,
I think you already nailed it on that. To begin with, this is what I tell them every time. Quit running out there and chasing them. Do you want somebody chasing them? If you're chasing somebody, it terrifies when they take off. You want to make friends with them? Cop a squat in the woods. Have a bonfire, cook some hot dogs, laugh your tush off, because when you're laughing, it raises your vibration and your energy, and if they're around, they're going to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is the best you can do. Don't think you're going to get it right off the bat. They have to learn to be comfortable around you.
Well, and what I'm getting at, I guess, is I think some really want to see them, want to know if they're really there, want to know if my pictures are really of Bigfoot when I show them a picture of them cloaked, you know, in the brush, and I've got this brush shaped like a Bigfoot sitting down, just sitting there watching me, and you can see the outline in the picture, and it looks like she's holding a baby, okay? And I show them this. I'm like, just look at it for a minute. And then there's a shape there, and you can kind of see it. It's a little bit different color if you really look at it. And just try to help them see something that they're not seeing that they really do want to see. They're really curious enough that they want to. I mean, there are other people that don't want to even look because they just don't believe it. But there are a lot of people who really want to see it. So I'm trying to figure out how to help them with that.
The only thing I can tell you is it just takes time. And we have to learn when it comes to these very special beings that we literally have no control over this. I know that as humans, we're a control freak. So are they, but because they've been threatened for so long, we don't have any control. And the best thing they can do is once they start opening their minds and opening their hearts and looking at picture after picture after picture, learn about them, because as you learn about them, that helps to open your mind. And once you get to that spot, you're going to see them. It just takes time. And as far as an encounter out in the woods, the respect is the main thing. And I stress this to everybody. You know, any fool can go out there and poke the bear and piss the bear off. And if you don't end up dead, you've had a bad experience. You don't want that. You want to be friends. You want that positive experience. So don't destroy the stick structures. That's a part of a language for them, and that ticks them off. Quit rearranging them. Quit being invasive. Go out there and sit. Enjoy nature. Enjoy your bonfire. Enjoy each other. That will draw them quicker to you than the rest of it. And as far as being able to see what's in the picture, that time will come. I promise the time will come. But it's after repetitively looking at photos, opening your mind, worrying about them so you know what you're looking for. But it will happen.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at pictures that I took quite a few years ago, and I look at them again. I'm like, they were standing right there when I was taking that picture. I was standing in the middle of the woods, okay, and I decided to take a picture of something over here. And I look at it, you know, 6 or 7 years later, and holy, they're right there.
Your mind has evolved to a place where it's ready to accept it, and that's what it boils down to. This is something that you cannot rush, you cannot push, and absolutely have no control over. When your mind is ready, you will see it. And that only thing that's going to help your mind is to listen to some of these podcasts, not just ours, but other people. There's a lot of very, very qualified, respected people, no experts, but a lot of experiences out there that can help you so that you are getting a basic understanding of even what to look for. And let that grow. Let your energy get up. Let your vibration get up. We've already discussed where when your energy and vibration is higher, your mind opens up. That's how you're going to get to the point to be able to see these things. But again, it takes time. It really does. Unless you're already at an energy and vibrational level and you don't realize it, and then you might get it right away. But it is a very time-consuming thing. And you can help do that by getting the energy up, the vibration up. Learn about them. They are fascinating. My goodness. There's so many qualified people out there that can share experiences. You know, we don't have a book. Everybody writes books, but we don't have the book to tell us everything. There aren't any experts, in my opinion. I'm certainly not one. And that's how you learn. And as you learn, you grow. As you grow, your energy and vibration go up. And then it'll all fall into place.
Well, you know, and I've noticed that a lot of people who are on a spiritual journey of some kind, it doesn't matter what, they seem to have more instances of encounters with Bigfoot than other people do. So, you know, they're kind of raising that vibration and they're raising their self-awareness and their awareness. And I would say, you know, Bigfoot is kind of helping people with that in a lot of ways. And Native Americans claim that they were spiritual beings. And I think that that's all, it all ties together, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. That, you know, if you're in the middle of a spiritual experience, you're more likely to see Bigfoot than you were at any other time. So it just seems to tie together. But anyway.
You've got a lot of information, Doreen. You've got a lot of great information, and you are so right on target with what I know to be true. You know, again, I'm not an expert. I go by what I've experienced. I go by what the Bigfoot have taught me. And I just think, you know, you've got great insight. You've got great knowledge. You've got great information. The group that you work with loves you. And if you were on the wrong path, if you weren't getting the right information, they wouldn't give you the time of day.
That's true. I believe that.
You know,
I believe that.
They care very deeply about you.
Thank you. I can tell.
They really do.
Like,
you know, I mean,
me.
You and I have known each other a long time, and I've never known you to be anything but insightful, honest, have a very high integrity in my book, and really get great information. You know, it's always an honor to be on air with you and do different things with you. And, you know, the few articles we've done, because you're the one person that I know when they've asked to write anything, you know, you are as legit as it gets. I never
Thank
have to worry about anything you write when you've asked me to do an article with you.
Thank you. And you've always been a big help in me trying to put the pieces together. That's meant a lot to me, because when I started out, I didn't believe any of this. I mean, I was looking for an undiscovered ape. That's what I was looking for, because that's what everyone else was looking for, and that's what I was told that I needed to be looking for. And once I've got in my head, it all kind of opened up. Once you kind of realize it's not what they are, then...
Now, when I was a little kid, I thought they were just another animal in the woods.
Right.
I think we all start out there, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's why... You know, you get all these people that say, oh, no, they're an ape, they're an ape, they're an ape. I have no issue, no problem with that, as long as you're not trying to hurt them and hunt them. Because
right.
when they're ready, when their mind is evolved where it should be and their energy and vibration is high enough, they are going to see the truth. And that's okay. You know?
Yeah. Exactly. And I didn't get too upset about that episode of Expedition Bigfoot, because even though they were out chasing them around in the middle of the night, when they started talking about cloaking, I'm like, you know, they've got their whole evolution too. You know, they've got to figure it out just like everyone else. So, you know, we all
it's
from
one
that.
Of these things that, you know, I talk to so many people that contact me, and I love that they contact me. It's not a complaint by any means. And I'm always happy to share experiences, or if there is a way I can help, I'm more than happy to do that. But the one thing I do stress to people, don't be hard on yourself if you're not where you want to be with this, because it's a process.
Yeah,
it is a
definitely.
Process. You evolve. Where I am now opposed to 10 years ago is different. Where I'll be 10 years from now in the future will be way ahead of where I am right now. And
yeah.
it's a process. Yeah. And it happens to everybody at different times. It doesn't matter if you're an older person or a younger person.
That's right.
It happens when it's supposed to.
That's right. Just like any spiritual process, for sure. So, and that's what it is. I really believe that.
It's a journey. It's a journey. It's not a, you know, like, oh, I want to go and see an ostrich at an ostrich farm. It'll work like that. These are a type
of
people. Yeah, you know, it's a type of people. They have lives, they have a language, they have an alphabet, they have, you know, a whole culture. It may not be ours, but that doesn't make it less real.
Well, and the fact that they live alongside us so closely, you know, and most people don't have a clue that they're there is what's so amazing to me. You know, once you realize that they're there, and they're all the time. They're there all the time.
Yep.
And they're watching us. They're curious about us and everything. And they're always there. And people don't realize it. It's just so amazing to me. I mean, if you really think about it, it's just incredible. It really is.
It really is. And we can live copacetically next to them. We truly can. But in order to do that, protection laws are not what's needed. What's needed is knowledge and understanding for people to understand their way of life. And it may not be ours, but there are ways to let them have their lives and let us have our lives. So, you know, protection
right.
laws for them don't work. They can't adhere to our ways. Their ways
right.
are not ours. Their words are not ours. And it's a much different culture. We have cultures all over the world. I don't understand why it's so hard to know that there's one more culture, you know?
Well,
but we're going to
yeah.
have to pop off. John,
you know,
are you
you
there?
Know, Robin, that's a good point. I got to say, we got 1 minute left, and we have enjoyed you folks being here tonight. And we'll see you again soon. Is that okay? Doreen, will you come back?
Yeah, thanks, John. It's been fun.
Yeah,
well,
Doreen, it's
Robin.
Always fun being with you, hon.
Thank you,
John.
Robin,
you're awesome as always.
Have a wonderful time at the Nebraska Bigfoot Conference, and we'll see you again
yeah.
next week. So this is Dr. John on Scary Cats Tuesday. We'll see you next time.
Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.